ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So continuing discussion of Sri Vishnu Sahasranama. It's very important to discuss the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's nothing more important, probably it's the only thing that's important, is to know that person who is the life of all lives, the life of our life. There's nothing more important than to know God and to love God. And many people, they speak of God, they worship God, they may even dedicate their life to God, but they only have a very vague idea who He is. I'm particularly talking here about the Abrahamic traditions, in which that means Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, in which we find at the present day and in the past and no doubt in the future also, that there are many people who are very serious about their practice of religion, and they're very serious about knowing God and understanding God, but they really don't have much idea about who He is. It's a great difference between the Vaishnava religion, Vaishnava Dharma, and these other religions. They don't really know who God is. They have some idea. They'll say He's omniscient, sarvagya, omnipresent, sarvavyapi, and omnipotent, sarvashaktiman. But they don't really know much about Him as a person and what He does and how He interacts with His devotees. If we have a clear idea about this, we can better progress in developing our relationship with Him. It's ultimately about Vaishnav Dharma is ultimately about re-establishing our eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we should know who we are dedicating our endeavors for. Where are we going? We should be sure and clear. We can understand from Shastra. So this discussion of Vishnu Sahasranama, it's all based on not imaginary descriptions, but real and realistic and descriptions. The Supreme Personality of Godhead describes Himself in Bhagavad Gita and in Srimad Bhagavatam. Vyasadeva describes Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and His various forms. Today's name, or maybe I'll go through two names today. Let's see what Krishna desires, if we can be in tune with Krishna's desires. Name 626 is Vijitatma. So Atma, you've all heard that word before. Atma means self, Atma means body, Atma means mind, Atma means what is called soul in English. And Atma means God Himself, so it has various meanings. Jit, you all know that term, means conquered over. Vijit, just like Vijay, complete conquering. So this term means who has conquered his mind. And it can also mean that he is the person who has been conquered by others. Wait a minute, we're talking about God, isn't it? So that can't refer to him. Well, it does. We'll get that back to that a little later. Now I'll just discuss about he who has conquered his mind. It's very difficult to conquer the mind, as Arjuna states in Bhagavad Gita, Chanchalam himana krishna pramati balabhadradam tajaham nigraham manye vayariva sudushkaram. Arjuna, after hearing Krishna speaking about controlling the mind by the yoga process, Arjuna says it's very difficult to control the mind. It's like trying to control the wind. How can we control the wind? And Krishna replies, yeah, you're right. Asangshayang mahabaho mana durnish mana. Asangshayang mahabaho mano durnigraham chalam. That's it, thank you. It's very difficult to control the mind. But, he says, abhyasena tu kaunteya vairagyena cha grihate. Thank you again. By practice, by striving by right means, and by renunciation, vairagya, non-attachment, it is possible. So, it's very difficult to conquer the mind. We may have experience of that. Most people aren't even trying to, but those who take up the path of yoga, not stretching the body yoga, but yoga for self-realization, they all know that it's a very difficult job to... What does it mean to conquer the self? It means to overcome our lower nature. Lust, greed, anger, very difficult to overcome these things. But it's not at all difficult for Krishna. He doesn't have any lower nature. He also has desires. He also has anger, sometimes we see, but it's all on, everything's controlled. And controlled in the sense that he's not dragged down to the lowest status of consciousness. There's no question of that. And even to control the mind, the best process is concentrating on Krishna, thinking of Krishna. Actually, devotees, they don't think so much about controlling the mind like the dhyana yogis, the meditational yogis. They're very much concerned with controlling the mind. But devotees don't do so, they don't talk about that so much. Their process is savai manah krishna padara vindayoho, to fix the mind on Krishna. And by doing so, automatically, the mind becomes controlled. The mind is fixed on spiritual object, rather than emphasizing the negative thing about how to overcome the bad things. We should think about that also, because no doubt, this calm, crowed, lobe, lust, greed, anger, and all these things, they're very difficult to overcome, and they are great obstacles on the path of Krishna consciousness. But at the same time, we emphasize more the very positive method of surrendering to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and absorbing the mind in thought of Him. And in this way, the devotees, they conquer over the mind, because in his case, it's not really a question of conquering over the mind, because his mind is always under his control. Shankaracharya, he gives this meaning of vijitatma, he whose mind is subdued or controlled. Maybe the Mayavadis have the idea that you can become God by controlling the mind, but as Srila Prabhupada often points out, Krishna was always God. When he was a child, he showed his godly opulence by killing Putana. He had no time to do any meditation for controlling the mind. He was just a baby. As a child, appearing like a baby playing with his chums, he was accused by his playmates that he'd been eating dirt. When his mother, Yashoda, told him to open his mouth to see if there was dirt inside it, she saw the whole universe, millions of universes within his mouth. So Krishna, he didn't undergo any yogic meditational process to become God. He's always God. People, why is the mind out of control? Because people desire things, you know, but he already owns everything. So what has he got to desire? And he's completely content. We could say, well, sometimes he gets angry. We're going to celebrate in 2 days' time the appearance day of Narsimhadev. That's the most angry person. Sometimes we hear about people having an anger problem. They get angry. Well, what about Narsimhadev? He was angry. That was no one could be as angry as him. But that wasn't a problem. It was a problem for Hiranyakashipu. But that's his glory. His anger is his glory. So you could say he lost his temper. He lost his temper with Bhishma, who was his devotee. When Bhishma went to attack Arjuna, Krishna lost his temper and just forgot his own promise and counterattacked Bhishma. But that's the glory of Krishna, that his mind is so much attached to his devotees that he will become angry at those who want to mistreat his devotees. So that brings us to another meaning, that Vijitabha means he's conquered by his devotees. Now remember the previous name, you won't remember because you weren't present when I was speaking on that. Or were you? Yeah, you were. Jyoti Garneshwara. Jyotir Garneshwara. Yeah. He is the Lord of the luminaries, which means all the devotees. So he's the Ishvara, the controller of all the devotees. And now the next name says that he's conquered by the devotees. So which is correct? Well, both of them. All apparent contradictions are resolved in Krishna. He's the Lord of the devotees and they conquer. How do they conquer him? By their love. Ye prayaso jita jito apitai sri lokyam. This verse was very much appreciated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Well, that's one line of a verse, that jnane prayasa muta pasyana manta eva jivanti san mukharitam bhavadiyavartam sthane stita shudigatang tanubang manobhe ye prayaso jita jito apitai sri lokyam. Brahma spoke to Krishna, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very much appreciated this, that the path of self-realization, first of all, give up trying to know everything. Give up trying to know everything and think we can know everything and understand that we can't know everything. Become humble and hear from devotees about Krishna. Dedicating one's mind, body and words in his service, remaining in one's position. And in this way, one can conquer over he who is unconquerable by anyone in all the three worlds. So this is the method to conquer him, by service to him, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Starting from this name, Sri Parashara Bhatta, the Sri Vaishnava, the original Sri Vaishnava commentator. Original means in this Kali Yuga. The commentator on Vishnu Sahasranam. He discusses, or he takes these names in terms of Bhagavan's Sushila. Sushila means the quality of being Sushil, of being very good natured, particularly in relation to his devotees. Up to this point, the last few names, Parashara Bhatta has been discussing how his qualities are manifest by his association with Lakshmi. Now he starts to describe how his real nature, what is the real nature of Bhagavan? He's the controller. Yeah, that's the meaning of Bhagavan. He's the controller and the master. But if we want to understand his nature, his very heart, then sadhavo hridayau mahyam sadhunam hridayam tvaham madanyate na jananti naham tebyo managapi. Parashara Bhatta doesn't discuss this verse. It's from Bhagavatam. The Sri Vaishnavas, they don't venture much. Although later, Sri Viraragava Acharya, the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, wrote a commentary on Bhagavatam, which Srila Prabhupada also quotes sometimes. But I'm quoting from Bhagavatam that Narayan said to Durvasa Muni that the sadhus, and by sadhus, he means his devotees. They are my heart. I am their heart. Why? Because they don't know anything but me and I don't know anything but them. So Krishna is conquered by such devotees. Getting back to the example of Bhishma, one example, I just gave that example, how Bhishma Dev, at the instigation of Duryodhana, he said that tomorrow I shall fight in such a way, this is during the Kurukshetra battle, tomorrow I'll fight in such a way that I will kill Arjuna. The only way he can survive is if Krishna himself fights on his behalf. And of course Krishna had taken a vow not to fight, not to raise any weapon. So he could only take a role as an assistant. So Krishna took that vow, which means that either Krishna had to break his vow of not fighting, or Bhishma's vow would be broken. So Krishna, he broke his own vow, because Bhishma was fighting in such a way that Arjuna was going to be finished. So Krishna, if it's a question between maintaining his own vow or upholding his devotee's vow, then he'll uphold his devotee's vow. And we'll find that in the appearance of Nrsimhadeva also. I plan to speak on that, how Nrsimha's appearance upheld the words of his devotees. I plan to speak on that on Nrsimha Chaturdashi in just 2 days' time. So that is, he's conquered by his devotee. He has to make his devotee greater than himself. Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. He tells Arjuna to declare that my devotee will never be destroyed. He has Arjuna, you say it. They might not believe me. Because for his devotee's sake, Krishna may break his own word. So he has Arjuna say it. You say it. That my devotee will not perish. This is Krishna's strongest vow. The point that he emphasizes more than any other. There's a narration here from one of the commentators in the Sri Vaishnava line. His name is Ramanujan, not the original Acharya Ramanujan. He's also an Acharya, but not. Anyway, he refers to Namalva, who, Namalva, he is famous for singing his pasurams or verses in glorification of Bhagavan, but he couldn't bear to think of the suffering that Krishna would undergo for the sake of his devotees. So when he came to the point that Yashoda was so harsh with Krishna that she bound him up and threatened to beat him. So at this point, Namalva, he just lost consciousness for 6 months. He couldn't bear to think of how he goes through all this suffering. And of course, that's all for the sake of pleasing his devotees. So from on one side, he's pleasing devotees. On the other side, the devotees, they become so... some devotees become very... they become very unhappy to hear how he's suffering so much. But of course, for Krishna, it's not at all suffering to do everything for the pleasure of his devotee. That is his pleasure. As Srila Prabhupada states in one purport, I'm reading from a purport to the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 31, Text 20, by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada writes, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes dependent on his devotee. The Lord is invincible, yet he is conquered by his pure devotee. He enjoys being dependent on his devotee, just as Krishna enjoyed being dependent on the mercy of Mother Yashoda." So here you see Srila Prabhupada saying that Krishna enjoys being dependent on the mercy of Mother Yashoda. He's at her mercy. She can beat him. She never actually beat him, but sometimes she threatened to do so. But externally, it appears like he's suffering. So Srila Prabhupada continues, "Thinking himself dependent on the devotee gives the Supreme Lord great enjoyment." And Srila Prabhupada gives an example. "Sometimes a king may engage a joker, and in the process of joking, the king is sometimes insulted." Only the joker can do that. No one else can insult the king. Srila Prabhupada used to sometimes tell Gopal Ban stories. These are from Bengal. Gopal Ban was the jester in the court of some king previously in Bengal. So one day, I'm just telling one story in this regard that Srila Prabhupada told. That one day Gopal Ban walked into the court and the king said to him in jest, "Gopal, what's the difference between you and an ass?" And Gopal was standing there. Then he walked toward the king, counting 1, 2, 3, 4. He counted 8 steps to reach the king. And he said, 8 steps. So in this way, the king wanted to make a joke at his expense, but with great intelligence, he turned it around and made a joke at the king's expense. But Srila Prabhupada continues, "The king, however, enjoys these activities. Everyone worships the Supreme Lord with great reverence." The king enjoys that because it gets a bit boring all the time. Everyone's saying, "Your Highness, Maharaj, Ki Jai Ho." Sometimes it's fun even to be joked at. "The king, however, enjoys these activities. Everyone worships the Supreme Lord with great reverence. Therefore, the Lord sometimes wants to enjoy the chastisement of his devotees. In this way, the relationship eternally existing between the Lord and his devotees is fixed, just like the sky overhead." Now I'm going to read a pastime of the Supreme Lord in relation to Prahlad Maharaj, which is recorded in the commentary on Brihad Bhagavatamrita by Sanatana Goswami and very well rendered into English by Gopi Purandana Prabhu, who's now passed away. So Narada speaking to Prahlad, "You, Prahlad, once went to Naimisharanya to have darshan of Narayana, who is known as the Lord in Yellow Dress, Pitambara. While on the road, you satisfied the Lord in combat, and he told you, 'Yes, I'm always conquered by you.'" So giving more detail, the commentary, states that this incident is recounted in a number of scriptures, including the Vamana Purana. Once Prahlad went to Nameshwaranjana, see Lord Pitavas. I said Pitambara, Pitavas. It's the Pitavasa is written here. The beautiful form of the Supreme Lord. While traveling on the road, he met a strange person who was dressed like an austere renunciant, but he was carrying bows and arrows. That's strange, isn't it? To look like a renunciant and have bows and arrows. It's a contradiction, isn't it? Unless it's Ramachandra and Lakshman in the forest. So Prahlad assumed from this person's contradictory attire that he must be some kind of hypocrite abusing the true principles of religion. Because you can have a bow and arrows if you're a kshatriya or a hunter in the forest, but not a renunciant. Of course, nowadays they have these Naga Babas. That was founded some few hundred years ago, some different sampradayas of sadhus who are fighters also. But traditionally, that the renunciant is not involved with the world, and a kshatriya is. Therefore, Prahlad started a fight with the sannyasi, vowing, "I swear I shall defeat you." But even after several days of dueling, Prahlad could not subdue this adversary. Early one morning before resuming the battle, because they used to fight in the day, not at night, Prahlad worshipped his personal deity. I just want to make a little note here. So Prahlad is worshipping his deity. He then saw, then in the deity worship, you offer, among various things, you offer the deity a garland. Then he saw, just in the middle of his worship, he just offered a garland and he saw, there's that man I'm fighting. He looked up to see him and he saw he was wearing the same garland. Then he realized, I'm going to Naimisharanya to see Lord Pitavasa. It's him. Actually, he's fighting with me. Therefore, Prahlad offered prayers to Narayan. It's actually, I'm fighting with Narayan all these days. And the Lord very kindly touched him with his lotus hand and relieved him from the fatigue of fighting, days and days of fighting, and from all anxiety. I can't defeat him. And then Prahlad asked the Lord, "See, I made a promise. I said I'd defeat you, and now I couldn't defeat you. What shall I do now?" he asked the Lord. And the Lord, having been fully satisfied with the sport of fighting with Prahlad, told him, "I'm always defeated by you." That's a very beautiful. I read this so many times. It's so nice. "I'm always defeated by you," he tells him. Conquered by love. That's Krishna. Aham bhakta parad, he know. He says, I'm always conquered by the love of my devotees. Then the next name is Vidheyatma, which has a very similar meaning. And in fact, our Gaurya Vaishnav commentator, Sri Baladev Vidyabhushan, he clubs these two names together as one name. Vijitatma means one who conquers the self, or whose self is conquered. And Vidheya means dependent, compliant, ready to be ruled or influenced. So it means that he who has others under his control, or he who is controlled by his devotees. Vidheya, just like we have the word vidhi, which means law, So vidheya means acting according to laws, doing that which is proper, that which is right. So of course Krishna always does that. He always does what is right. The name can also, by breaking the sandhi, the conjunction, can also mean avidheyatma, or one who is not under any law. So of course Krishna, everything he does is correct. It's according to the law, because he's not under any law. The main law is that he is supreme. All other laws spring from that. But this is what makes Krishna's pastime so sweet, especially his Vrindavan pastimes, in which he is not under any law. Anyway, he's not under... Law can mean the law, do this, otherwise you'll be punished. There's also the laws of nature, we can say. So Krishna, he can change the laws of nature also. So in this way, just like he can swallow fire. Of course, there are people who do that as a kind of trick. They swallow the fire, but it's a trick because they don't really swallow the fire. They know the art that you put a burning flame in your mouth and it goes out. I haven't seen that in India. There must be people who do that. I used to see in England sometimes. We go on Harinam Sankirtan. There'd be people doing it. They probably banned it now because they ban everything in England, practically. Everything's banned. In India also now, snake charmers are banned. They're banning all kinds of things all over the place. Oh, you can have homosex and divorce 20 times, but other things. Everything's changed. The whole world has become very strange. But anyways, Krishna, he swallows a whole forest fire. Twice. He breaks all the rules. And that's the sweetness, that he can do that. And he breaks apparently he breaks the moral rules. So that's his very great sweetness, that he does so. There are so many examples. We have, you're going to Sri Rangam. There's the deity there, Yathoktakari, one of the deities there, means Yatha Ukta Kari. What he did, he does what he's told. Because I can't remember the names exactly, but one time the king there, he told one devotee who was there, "You get out of town." For some reason he became envious of him. You get away. And then the Lord, so he followed him, followed the devotee. And then the king repented and called the devotee back. And the devotee said, "Okay, now you go back." So he did what he was told. Went back to the temple. But he lay down the wrong way. He's lying down. He's lying down in different direction to most deities. Because whatever reason, he forgot which way he's supposed to lie down. So he's back to front. That's what I'm saying there, so... No, in Kanchi, that's not Sri Rangam, it's in Kanchi. Yeah, there are so many things in this... I was saying if you go to Sri Rangam, one day is not enough. You can see, but to discuss all the stories, it'd take you days. In Kanchi, there are so many temples there. So many Divya Deshams there also. So these are two names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vijitatma, Vidheyatma. He becomes completely under the control of his devotee. He says himself, "Aham bhakta paradhino, nahi asvatanta iva dvija." Sadhu bir grasta hridayo. Bhaktair bhakta jana priya. He tells Durvasa, who was a great yogi, who had conquered his mind, he thought. Narayan, he told that, you read the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, Durvasa, that I'm just, it's the suggestion is there. There's no record of Narayan actually saying that. First verse of Bhagavatam defines the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Swarat, independent. But he says, aham bhakta paradina, I'm dependent on my devotees. And to emphasize the point, he says it round the other way. I'm dependent on my devotees, I'm not independent. The sadhus, they have captured my heart. What to speak of the sadhus, the devotees, I am controlled even by those who are dear to my devotees. That's why the recommendation is you try to please a Vaishnava. It may be difficult to please God. He's very great and very mighty. But you try to please a devotee and then Krishna will be pleased. What kind of devotee? The kind of devotee who can pray to Krishna as Prahlad prayed to him. Aham to kamas twad bhaktas twam chas swami anapashraya nanyate hava yor arto raja sevakayoriva. He said, he prayed that I am your unmotivated servant and you are my eternal master. There is no need of our being anything other than master and servant. You are naturally my master and I am naturally your servant. We have no other relationship. So one who is completely fixed in being a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he himself thinks that I want to be his servant. I want to please this devotee who is completely selflessly given himself to me. We could Vidheyatma, who works according to law, we could take this also to mean. This is not given by any of the previous acharyas, but I'm just offering this as another possible meaning, that although he's not bound to, but he appears once in a day of Brahma. He comes on schedule. In Dwaraka, he performs all his duties as a ideal grihastha by rising early in the morning, doing all his religious duties. So in this way, he's even though he's not under any control, he follows the laws. Also. Okay, I'll do one more name. Krishna willing. name 628. Satkirti. So Sat, you know, means good, eternal, proper. These are various meanings. And kirti means fame, reputation, similar terms. So it means he who is of very famous or famous for the right reasons, glorified as being sat. Who is famous in the world today? The most famous person in India at the present time is probably Narendra Modi? Probably. You could say the big film star. If we say Shah Rukh Khan, everyone in North India knows, but here in Tamil Nadu, they don't give a damn about him. And in America they don't, who cares? Only the North Indians who live there. Cricket star? Is there any big famous cricket star after Sachin Tendulkar resigned? What's it? Retired. There's no one of his stature. So probably anyway, these are all famous names in India. And again, if you go to say Argentina, if you've ever heard of Argentina, they've never heard of Sachin Tendulkar. You can go to everyone, every person in the country, and none of them will have ever heard of Sachin Tendulkar. So they're famous people among a small group of people. And if we come back here in 1,000 years' time, will anyone have heard of Sachin Tendulkar? No way. Even himself won't know. I mean, everyone has to die, and he'll take another body and he'll forget I was a great cricket player. He might go to school and learn about. They still in the schools they teach about all the cricket players in India anyway. So they may be famous, but it's Asat Kirti. All these people, they're famous. Narendra Modi is famous now. After some time, he'll be forgotten. So it's all Asat Kirti in the sense that it's not lasting. And it's not based on any real solid basis. Solid basis means dharma, whose fame is derived from his dharmic activities. The Harishchandra, if you know from Mahabharata and Ramayana, how he went through so many difficulties, but he wouldn't give up his dharma. And eventually he attained to the spiritual world. So the highest fame is that of Krishna. Young Brahma, Varanendra, Rudra, Maruta, Stunvanti, Divyaistavai. All the great demigods, they all glorify him. And he himself is eternal. He never dies. So he's glorified eternally. He's glorified by those who are sat. So in that way, Sat Kirti means he's famous among the great people or the proper people. We may say that, well, Sachin Tendulkar, he's much more famous than Shyam Gopinath Das, who's translating the lecture here into Tamil. That's true, but who cares for Shyam Gopinath Das? Devotees care. Devotees, it's more important to be known by devotees than by non-devotees, because the devotee's position is always glorious. The non-devotee's position is always inglorious. And of course, Krishna is worshipped by all the devotees. So in that way, he's also Sat Kirti. Sat means truth, so his glorification is all true, it's no exaggeration. In fact, in one sense we can say it's not true, in as much as we can never, however much we glorify him, it's never enough. But we glorify a cricket player for what? For something which is meaningless. So it's not, again, it's not Sat Kirti. What is his glory? What is his greatest glory? His greatest glory is that he is so kind to his devotees. His greatest glory is that Lakshmi, Radha, they are attached to him. They are the most glorious. Why are they the most glorious? Because they are attached to him. Why is he glorious? Because they are attached to him. So this is the fame that accrues to Krishna eternally. People may be famous for being wealthy, powerful, expert in some activity. So Krishna has that kind of fame because he's the most wealthy, the most powerful. And someone may be glorified for having a good character, and Krishna has the best character. So usually people are wealthy and powerful and beautiful. In many cases, they're not of good character, especially in the modern world. Whoever's wealthy means they're generally not by good means do they get their money, or powerful, not by good means. But they all go together. It all goes together with Krishna. ordinary jiva like us, may also attain kirti by worshipping him. So, by following the proper methods, the sat, proper methods of worshipping him, one also becomes glorified. Not that the devotee seeks glorification. Who is the most famous? Is God. Either you call him Krishna or Allah or God. He's the most famous. And he's glorified by great scholars, by very ordinary people. He's the best. Do you have the Veda base up there? He can't hear anything. Do you have the Veda base handy there? I made a note, but I didn't. I forgot to get this available. So, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila. Oh, that's, I know what it is. This is the conversation between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai. Madhya Lila, chapter 8. You can type in Madhya 8.246. Konboro Kirti. He uses, in the discussion between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Rai Ramananda, it comes up. I'll just have this and finish that there. Kirti gana madhya jiva kon boro kirti. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Rai, among all the kinds of kirti, fame, renown, reputation, for the jiva, what is the biggest? Kirti gana madhya jibe kon boro kirti, Krishna bhakta balaya jaha hoi khyati, to be known as a devotee of Krishna. So that's for the jiva. And for him, his kirti is to be known as the Supreme Lord. Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna.
All glories to Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Samapan. Vanta kalpatarubhyas chakipa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha madhurena samapayet. One should finish sweetly with a sweet. So we have some sweets to distribute. If anyone's watching this online, you don't get a sweet. They didn't invent how you distribute sweets online. You make it come out of like they had the slot machine.
Yes.
You put the money in and you press and then something comes out.
Vending machine.
So they didn't have that yet. Although you never know, they might invent it yet at some point. This is Tirupati Balaji Prasad. And I didn't get myself. Hare Krishna.